Hey, good evening, everyone. So glad you're here with us tonight, our Wednesday night service and midweek fuel up. And if everyone will grab a hymnal, we'll go to number 275. And let's stand and sing I Surrender All. Number 275, I Surrender All.
For you later on, but ain't it good to be at church tonight? I mean, I am just so excited to see all of y'all, and I told the deacons, you know, I'm not very much of a hype man, meaning I can't just hoop you up and get you going, but I tell you what, it's just good to be at the house of God with God's people going to study God's Word. And as you're turning to Proverbs 26, Sunday night, just hearing Awana back going again, hearing ministry within the walls and the halls of the church. That's just awesome. It is awesome, you know. And I'm so thankful for that. And I just got to say that our journey showed out, didn't they? They had how many? Seven. I think Journey had seven, and that is the teenagers. I mean, it's kindly. But remember at VBS, as you turn in Proverbs 26, we had more in the men's adult class that day than we did in the others. But praise the Lord, the gears are getting back going. Do we have any word of praise or testimony tonight as we get going through our scriptures?
I read something on Facebook today.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Is that not amazing?
Oh, that
yes. And, you know, Russ, he's a part of us here. Brother Kay was telling me about him, but Brother Stanley, I mean, basically they're saying that the cancer is either going away pretty fast or not there, maybe at all. Huh? I know it. That's prayers. That's God answered prayer. Also, Sister Donna updated us yesterday. You know, we do have our prayer meeting. It started at 10 o'clock on Tuesdays, but now it's moved to 11 o'clock on Tuesdays. And we've been doing that for about 3 years, and there are seven names since that time that we know have been taken off due to salvation. So, I mean, praise the Lord. 1 hour a week for 7 years, I mean, that's only, it's way worth it. The hours of prayer invested per turnout is awesome. I mean, if you were doing it by the numbers, it would be awesome. Anywhere else? Anybody else? Word of praise or testimony? Oh, wow. She must have, so praise the Lord. He's left a good legacy, ain't he? He's left a real good legacy. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is. Just praise the Lord that he does leave us a legacy. All we have afterwards is our name, you know, and that's what we're leaving for. And you know what? I mean, and I just be honest with you, I'm working on a sermon right now talking about standing at Kadesh. And you remember that's when they sent out the 12 spies and only two come back believing that they could press over into the promised land. I'm telling you, Thomas Village, I think we're at a Kadesh moment. Yes, this church can function for another 30 years in the way that it's functioning right now and look good on the outside. But we got to start getting some babies born. We got to start making some moves and some stuff. We've got to be willing that we're going to invest in our area around us, and that's going to take people. But see, remember what happened after Kadesh? They wandered for 40 years. They wonder, and I, right now, I believe there's a church that God put me a pastor in to preach that message that is wandering right now. And I got another preacher. He'd amen that one, too. A couple, matter of fact. But there is an awesome spirit around here right now, and we need to fight so much to hold on to the oneness that we have, the oneness that we share. You know, it's one thing to disagree on how to do something. It's a totally other thing to disagree on motive. And that's what I can say about Thomas Village. I believe everyone's heart generally is for the best of the kingdom and for the growth of our church. So any other, I guess that's words of praise. So, yes, amen, amen. Yeah, Tony Baker's daddy. Yep, that's it. What was his name?
Carter.
Carter Baker family. Thank you for that. I had Brother Ken had already told me about Tony Baker's daddy, you know, and that he had just lost his wife. Okay. Like we said, in the way of praise reports, but prayer needs that we do always want to remember the lost. We have a list of that, and we know that they're not even a drop of sand in the amount of people that need Jesus on our globe. But we don't care if it comes through us or through a sign on a bathroom wall or a gospel tract that somebody left on a countertop somewhere, but that God is saving souls. Matter of fact, we prayed a double portion on them yesterday down here at Revival that God be working there. I know Pendleton's Chapel's a part of it. I don't know the rest that's there. But we want to pray for the backslidden, and we know that we can be backslidden so easy. Even in the pew. Marriages, the depressed, we want to continue to pray for our nation. Jean Rose, the Kecks, Sister Carol Edwards, she had got good news yesterday. And so we're praising God in that. I've been texting with her I asked her how her heart rate was today. She might have texted me back, but I just ain't looked and seen. And then we have Bill Eads, Steve Lasseter, David Starnes, Marcella Bledsoe, Karen McDavid, Jared Newton, Jay and Wes Rasnick families, D. Lane, John Stephanie and Brenda Stenick, Tony and Bethany McGee, Ivan Scott family, Lisa Eastep, Betty Carter, Catherine Baldwin, Mickey Gildren, Rhonda Dorton, Mark Leonard and his wife and his mother-in-law, Connor and Cole Bagley, Wilma and Don Daniels, Larry Tomlinson, Melanie Lester, Larry Spears, Deborah Rames, Mickey O'Neill, Jeanette Carter, Rick Swanson, Kyle Lawson, Mike Brown, Kathy Smith, Penny Horton, Brenda Allen, Junior Stidham, Stephanie Harvey and family, Brother Ronnie Owens, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Terry Beeler, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Gary and Brandy CC, Margaret Williams, Jesse Bull, and Sister Pam Savarsky. And then we also continue to pray, even though the good report for Sandy and Stanley Williams, Jason Knight, Phyllis Williams, Edsel Keck, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Deborah Horton, Kevin Tigner, Heather Markham, Randy Flanzler, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawtree, Teresa Holden, Larry Rasnick, Ray Tony. Is that the one? That's it, isn't it? Okay. Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Roger and Virginia Edens, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne. I was able to spend a good while with Sister Ruth today. Spent about 2.5 hours on the back porch just talking, but it was good to be with her, continue to pray for her and Cindy. Priscilla Smith, Ethan Bowen, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Susie Hill, Carol Carter, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Daisy Richards, Nick Roden, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daryl Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, Haley Webb, Sean and Don Garinetti, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, Mary Snodgrass, Mr. Frank and Miss Cecilia Pennington, Lottie Johnson, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten and family, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, Georgia Folk, Ricky Sheffield, James Connor, and Jesse Lee, also our Duffield Fire and Rescue and the first responders. And then the boxes, the Operation Christmas Child. Man, the Awana did a number on making boxes. And just that handprint prayer, oh my goodness, that is awesome, isn't it? And also, we are going to have this year, in case y'all didn't know it, we are going to have Mr. Operation Christmas Child box in person. He's going to be here, so just look forward to that. We're going for 500. That's the goal. So any other prayer needs tonight? I might. I think I do. Let me see. Yeah, I do. Did I skip him? He's right after. Did it? Okay. See, yeah, if there's any of these that need to be taken off, please tell me. Because usually I catch them by, they send them on the on our Facebook page, you know, during the messages and all, and that's where I get a lot of them from. So if y'all do know anything, Brother Jeff? What's his name, Brother Jeff? John? Thank you, brother. Okay, good deal. Yeah, yeah, if y'all got a list, please bring me the list. That means I can keep it to one page when I print it off. Anybody else? Yes. Is it B or D? I got D, but I do have them. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Brother Jasper and Sister Pam, they're mending. But Sister Pam had an infection, that she'd had dental work and has an infection, so you know, just in these times, better to self-distance than, especially when you know you're down, you know, if you're physically down already. So keep praying for them. Anyone else tonight? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, from what I'm hearing, the headaches from this thing is bad news, man. I'll tell y'all what, I don't like to test it myself either. They touch your brain, might as well draw spinal fluid. They stick that thing so far up there. Really? I tell you, thank God. Just thank God. Thank God that the Keks are doing as well as they're doing. And it's all in God's hands. Our body will go through whatever God deems for our body to go through. I done seen it too many times when you say, ain't no way. And then God can bring you through. That's only our God. I had a friend that the doctors told him that the chemo is the only thing keeping you alive. I said, don't you let that rob you of your hope. I said, God might be using the chemo, but he's in control. He's in control. I'm going to ask Brother Keith if he would come and lead us in our prayer tonight. But the altar's always open. And do we have any other needs? Maybe a praise report. Maybe it's just something small that God's done in your life. And you want to just say, God is good to me. Anybody tonight, just say, God is good. Amen. Amen. Brother Keith. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Well, praise the Lord, though. Mm-hmm. God's working, ain't he? And that's it. Like one of our members said earlier, God's working when we're willing to look for it, when we're willing to see it. You'll see his hand all around. All around. Thank you, Sister Fleeta. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Lester. Anyone else? Hey, you go ahead and let God say what he wants to say through you. I ain't got to preach. Anyone else? Again, I'm just so thankful to hear ministries back in our church again. The chatter, the movement, the spending money, all of it. Hey, praise God that we're rebuilding. And, you know, the devil, he don't like it, but praise God. Stay committed. Remember your God. As Nehemiah told them, remember your God. Fight for your wife. Fight for your children. And fight for your countrymen. The old saying, you remember when the slave would have their ear bored through in the Old Testament when they decided they didn't want to be free? And they'd say, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I will not go free. You know, I say that to the Lord quite often. And I say it to my wife to let her know she can't go nowhere either. We was having a talk about divorce one day, and I said, you ain't going to leave me, are you? She's like, oh, where'd you get all that from and all that? And we talked on about 15 more minutes, and then it hit me. She still ain't answered the question, so I had to ask her one more time. And she affirmed she wouldn't. So, brother, if you would.
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, just thank you, dear God, for another opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, Lord. We count it a privilege. Man, we serve an awesome God. And Lord, we just thank you for each and everything that you do for us. We take life for granted. And many, many days that you watch over us and take care of us that we don't even think about, but we fail to give you praise for it. And Lord, I just ask your forgiveness for that. Lord, I just pray that you would be with each and every request that's been made here tonight. And Lord, I just raise up the Dishner family to you in a special way, Lord, that you would help him through his sickness. Lord, we pray for all those that's out with sickness, and Lord, we know you're in control. We know, dear God, that you could heal each and every one if it was your will, Lord, just any second. And Lord, we ask if it be your will that you would heal each and every one, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that we're beginning to open everything back up in our church, Lord, and to learn more about you. And, Lord, I just pray that it can continue. Lord, I just pray that you be with Brother Brian as he stands tonight to teach your word. And I just pray, dear God, that our hearts would be receptive. Lord, again, forgive us when we fail you, for it's these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
And, you know, we are moving. Thank you, Brother Keith. We are moving, as you're turning to Deuteronomy 26, we are moving into the Proverbs. If y'all ain't learned to overlook me and just correct me by now, that's a good thing, ain't it, that you can do that. As you turn to Proverbs 26, we are moving into the depression time of year as the days get shorter and all that. And sometimes in the role of pastor, you have to take on some counseling. And one of the things I ask people to do is number one, smile, because something about smiling releases endorphins in your body. So look at yourself in the mirror and smile, and then just say something with the name of Jesus in it. Something like, nobody loves me like Jesus loves me. And you know what? I feel it. Even in saying it there and smiling there, you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit rise up within you and at least help your perspective as you walk into a world that lots of times wants to beat the heck out of you. So smile and say the name of Jesus, praise God, and something will happen. All right, Proverbs 26. I'm going to be reading out of the Christian Standard tonight. Then we'll go into our proverb. But what we're going to see, remember, a proverb is a concise but brief statement that imparts general wisdom and advice. A concise but brief statement that imparts general wisdom and advice. Proverbs 26, verse 1. Like snow in rain, summer and rain at harvest, honorable is inappropriate for a fool. Like a flittering or a fluttering sparrow, an undeserved curse goes nowhere. A whip for a horse, a bridle for a donkey, and a rod for the back of a fool. Do not answer a fool according to his foolishness. I think the King James says according to his folly. Or you will become like them yourself. Answer a fool according to their foolishness, or he will become wise in his own eyes. The one who sends a message by a fool's hand cuts off their own feet. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like lame legs that hang limp. And the one who sent, verse 8. Giving honor to a fool is like binding a stone in a sling. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a stick with thorns brandished by the hand of a drunkard. The one who hires a fool or hires a passerby is like an archer who wounds everyone. As a dog returns to its vomit, so also a fool to his foolishness. Do you see a person wise in their own sight? There is more hope for a fool than them. The lazy one says, there is a lion in the public square. As a door turns on the hinges, so a lazy one on their bed. The lazy one buries their hand in a bowl, but is too weary or too tired to bring it to their mouth. In their own eyes, the lazy one is wiser than seven others that answer sensibly. Verse 17, a person who passing by meddles in a quarrel that is not their own is like one who grabs a dog by an ear. I caught that fly. No, I didn't. You son of a gun. Verse 18, I know I read bad, but not usually this bad. Like a madman that throws fiery, flaming darts and deadly arrows, so is a person that deceives their neighbor, saying, I was only joking. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, conflict dies. As charcoal for embers, fire for wood, so is a quarrelsome person for making strife. A gossip's words are like choice food that go down into the innermost being. Smooth lips with an evil heart are like glaze on earthenware. A hateful person disguises themselves with their speech, harboring deceit within. When they speak graciously, do not believe them, for there are seven detestable things in their heart. Though their hatred is concealed, their evil will be revealed in the assembly. The one who digs a pit will fall into it. Whoever rolls a stone, it will come back upon them. And a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth causes ruin. May God add the blessing to the reading of His words. Now, you remember, as we've talked about a proverb being a short, concise statement that provides general wisdom and advice, we've seen that the majority of them, if you broke them down verse by verse, the majority of the book of Proverbs is going to be one-liners, one-versers. But as we begin moving closer and closer to the end, we've been seeing that there's been more paragraph forms, almost like as he sees Solomon, as he sees that he's coming to the end and there's got to be an end to it somehow, that he begins to join them together. But up until this point, we've had some paragraph form Proverbs and then some bullet point Proverbs. But tonight, except for verse 2, every one of them can be broken down into a paragraph type proverb. And so I just included verse 2 in with the first statement passages, you might say. As we talked about Sunday morning, there has to be a specific topic. You know, we can always talk about how the Bible affects us, but when we talk about Scripture, there's only one meaning behind Scripture. That's the problem when two or three people have a different meaning of Scripture. Now, Scripture can affect us in many different ways, but Scripture says one thing and one thing only, and that is points back to Jesus. But the first thing is that we see in this passage tonight is basically Solomon is dealing with topics, or it can be broken down into topics, Brother Gary, like between verses 1 through 12. We read them last Wednesday night, but except for verse 2, every verse between verse 1 and verse 12 has the word fool or some type of foolishness when it says it's foolishness 14 times in 12 verses. So it's very easy to see that while the purpose statement doesn't say, let's talk about fools, that is the idea that's being presented in it, that the topic of fools is being addressed. If you look there in verses 13 through 16, again, it does not say, let's talk about lazy people. But the topic is of laziness. Now, verses 17 through 19 was a little bit different because there's not just like, let's just talk about the fool, let's talk about the lazy one. But what we see in verses 17 through 19 is there is a description of dangerous people. So that could be just, let's talk about dangerous type people. And then in verses 20 through 22, the word gossip is mentioned two times. And when you read about it, it's going to be about the nature, just the way that nature takes course as it's concerned to gossip and those that carry it. And then the last thing would be the topic of deceit over in verses 23 through 25. It's going to talk about how they smile, but they're lying evil in their heart. Just deceitful people with smooth lips that are like glazed earthen or clay pots is the picture that's there. So let's just look at the topic of fools, why don't we, for a minute. Notice he says that in snow in summer and rain in harvest, honor is inappropriate for a fool. Now, the idea is clear there that if it was snowing in the middle of the summer, or then while you're harvesting and the rain comes, one, you're not going to like it when you're out harvesting, right? I mean, it's just going to make everything much more difficult. But if it's snowing in summer, then what? It's completely out of nature. It's not right. Something's not going on with the way that the cycles of the seasons have been put in. And that's what he's saying here. One, it's troublesome, just like the rain and the harvest would be, but also it's unnatural to give a fool honor. But we're living in a time where many fools are being honored. Basketball players, football players, rock stars, entertainers, all that, many of them ain't got the good sense God gave a goat. But they've got something that draws, and people's making money off of them. Notice he says, like a flittering or a fluttering sparrow. Now, I've never seen a sparrow really flitter or flutter, but I have seen birds when they just stand there, it's like they're frozen in one position, you know, and they just kind of flap a little bit, and then they'll light back down. I think that's what he's talking about, a curse. That bird is just flapping its wings. It's not going anywhere. It's not making any progress. And then when somebody tries to speak a curse over someone else that has no value, like if they're trying to speak badness over a morally good person. I believe Scripture's saying it's not going to go anywhere because there's no reason for it to prosper. This individual that's speaking the curse is doing it just out of hatefulness, and praise God. Anybody see that differently on that one? And then in verse 3, I think it says, again, just the way we deal with things. Race horse, they use the whip on it. We also used a bridle on our horses. We had quarter horses and walking horses, but we used the bridle, but it specifically uses the bridle for the donkey. But then it alludes that a fool should be whipped. And you know that the idea of a corporal punishment, spanking, is the idea of to push foolishness out of a child. Now, it doesn't always take corporal punishment for the foolishness to go out of the child, but sometimes it does. And I can say I was probably one that didn't get enough when I was a child. But anymore, the youngin's no good enough. You touch them, they're going to call social services, and you might go to jail right in that moment right there. We're living in crazy times, I'm telling you. Especially since, January of 2020? Was that when they said the first one? I think we've seen one before that, but that's when they're saying the first one actually hit over in Washington State and Oregon, the first corona. We can't compare nothing anymore past that. But notice it says in verse 4, do not answer a fool according to their foolishness. Meaning that you can't play on the same playing field with a fool, because even the plans they make is not smart. And so if you get down there and it goes on to say in verse 4, answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he will become wise in his own eyes. Basically, if you get into an argument with a fool over a foolish decision that they've made, you're giving them fodder to build them up and make them look better in their own eyes. And you're just lowering yourself into an argument that has no real bearing on anything. Praise God, I've been studying on Nehemiah, and this is a few chapters ahead, but Tobiah sends him a letter and wants him to come down from the work, you know. And they tried to sneak him into the temple, and they was going to kill him. But he sent him back a message, and he said, I'm not coming down off the wall. Why should the work suffer for me to have a foolish conversation with you and stop the work? And I pray that's how God makes me and us around here at Thomas Village, that we're about a good work, praise God. And some of the discussions just ain't worth having, you know, and that we will stay about the work of the kingdom. Amen. Any thoughts on that? Okay. No, I don't believe it's exactly equal to a lost person, but it is one who rejects the teachings of true wisdom, which is only found in God, found in God's law, found in that. That is the idea of a fool, what Scripture is, because ultimately when we stand on Judgment Day, you're going to have those that God revealed himself to and they responded to, and then you'll have the other ones. And many of them, what does God say? He says, I reveal myself in nature. There may not be a name at the bottom of the painting that says painted by God, but the fact that there is nature is evidence of a painter, evidence of a creator, and anyone who does reject. And then also, now think about this, because we know if you practice Judeo-Christian ethics, even if you don't worship God or serve Christ, you still will be blessed because God has blessings in his word, right? That you live them out through that. So really it's talking about those that reject the ways of God, the things of God, because there'll be many moral people that go to hell, especially from America and in our region, because they were raised right. You know, I mean, they were raised with respect for the Word of God. And it's from it that we find the value of life. We find the value of everything around us. I mean, through that. And what we're seeing is we in America, as we move further and further away from this, then the definition of life can be rearranged. And you can screw it all up. And see, and that's what's happened. Our nation is actually turning into fools. And look at our elected individuals. They've moved away, not just the standard of God's word, because like I said before, all of our founding fathers weren't Christian. Many of them did not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But they believed that the Judeo-Christian ethic, the morality of the word, could not be done any better. And that's why they based our freedom on the Word. That's why when we now try to read the Constitution and all that without the perspective of Scripture, it all falls apart because you can define it any way you want to define it. You know, and that's what they're doing. They're defining marriage. They're defining life. All that stuff, they ain't even need their hands in that. If they would just follow the Word, it's already got it laid out. But see, fools move away from the Word and they start making their own definitions. What? Meaning more on the evil side? Well, anyone that rejects the standard of God's Word is a fool. I believe that's the context of what we're reading right here. Anyone who... And then, you know, you think about it. If they're not living by God's Word, then the plans they make are going to be made in human wisdom, right? Any country, a country that says, we're not Christian, but we're also not going to listen to the Bible. See, our country... The laws are founded in this, and so well, that's why we're still blessed. But now what do we have? We have people saying, let's do away with the law, right? I mean, that's really in our country right now. But the Bible says, I've given you the law as a gift because it helps keep you safe, and it rewards those that do good, and it condemns those that do evil. But see, we're living in a country that years ago said we'll no longer follow the Word. We're not going to base how we rule America on Judeo-Christian ethic anymore. Take Jesus out. We're not talking about Jesus. We're just talking about the moral code of the Bible. And they've started making plans based on human reasoning that a baby is not just a fetus until it actually sucks air. You see? Foolishness. Foolishness. Why? Because they moved away not only from God, but they moved away from God's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Facetious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More as a funny thing, yep. Rather than what the Bible means.
Yeah.
That's why, you know.
Well, another word? You want me to tell you another word that's like that? The word naughty. If you look up the definition of the word naughty, it means a scoundrel, someone that has just walked away from the law, someone that is a deviant. But what do we call her? That's a little naughty boy. And what we're saying is he's a heathen. That youngin's a heathen, you know. But that's what happens, that we lessen the Word as we move away from the wisdom of truth, you know. Well, I hope it helped. If nothing else, I talked a lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, in Romans, remember over in Romans chapter 1, I think, that's where he says, I declare my wonderment through nature, but when they knew me as God, they did not recognize me as God and started worshiping the creation more than the Creator. And tell me if that's what America is. You remember I said I think that the biggest issue right now is selfishness. Because when you look at Jesus, what did he model? Selflessness. And he thought his whole plan was about others every day, all day. And if we can get to that point, oh man, that Sunday that everybody come around the altar, I wish I'd have had somebody taking a picture because I wanted to post on Facebook, this is the only thing that'll change America. God's people on their knees, recognizing that he is God and his ways are best. Any other thoughts on that before we move on into verse 6?
There used to be a sign on there where I worked that said, never argue with the fool.
Mm-hmm.
They'll bring you down to their level.
That's biblical.
They'll bring you down to their level and beat you with experience.
Amen. That's pretty good. Bring you down to their level and beat you with experience. Anyone else? I like it when we discuss. All right, verse 6, the one who sends a message by a fool cuts off their own feet. Basically, it ain't going nowhere, you know, that he ain't going to be able to deliver. Verse 7, a proverb. Now, remember, a proverb, what it is it's a precise statement that gives wisdom and general advice. But notice what it says. It says that a fool takes precise wisdom and general advice. If they have it, then it's like someone whose legs don't work and just hang limp. There's no progress. They may hear it, they may know it, but they won't use it for progress in their life, for benefit. You know, just like we're talking about, just with this proverb. If the words that are written in the book of Proverbs were applied in America today, we'd have a whole lot better country, wouldn't we? Just the simple precepts that we see in them would make our country a better place. And so but it's out there. People know it. But what's wrong? They're not applying it. They're not progressing in it. Any thoughts there? I like verse 7. It says that, or excuse me, verse 8, it says, giving honor to a fool is like binding a stone in a sling. Basically, it's saying if you put a fool in a place of position, of credit, of authority, of respect, you might as well be given looking down a loaded gun. Right? Isn't that what they did with a sling? A sling was a weapon. Remember? And Daniel or David threw it and he hit the giant and it was over with. Give a fool honor and you might as well have a loaded weapon pointing your way. It goes on to say that okay. Is that good? Good. That's better. That's better. That's good. That's good. That it's incapable of being productive. It's unable to fire because that's good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anything else on that one? All right, look at the next one. It says that a proverb in the hand of a fool or in the mouth of a fool, and remember general advice and wisdom, says that it's being swung or brandished like I picture like a child playing swords with a stick. But instead, you've got a drunkard that's holding it. And so he's not feeling the hurt that the thorns are pushing down into his hand. And so he cares less about it hitting somebody else than hitting them as well. Does that make sense? That it really the only thing that the proverb can do in a fool's mouth is bring hurt. Well, and you know, and two, we got to think of the drunkard. The drunkard makes the hands numb. I mean, they're not feeling it. They're not using good sense in their head, like you said. They're not caring who they hit. But also, one of the reasons they're not caring because they don't even feel the pain until it's too late for their own selves. You know, until that thorn's already deeply buried, and then they're going to have to do some surgery to get that thing out. And a lot of times, you've seen it. Somebody lives their life up to a point, made a lot of mistakes, but then they'll come to know Jesus. Well, you know what? Jesus saves you eternity, but he don't always fix the consequences of your terrible choices. You know, I believe today that a man that's laying on a bed with cancer in his lung because all he did was smoke, drank, party, and did all that, I believe in a minute he can be saved. But I also believe that the toll that he's took on his body is going to continue to have effect because that's just, you know, that's the blessings and the cursings of a foolish lifestyle compared to a wise lifestyle, you know. Anyone else? As a dog returning, the archer, we see one who hires a fool or a passerby is like an archer. Basically, the picture is of somebody with a weapon firing off without any care, without any purpose, without any meaning. They're just, whoever gets hit, you know. And it says in verse 12, do you see a person who is wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than them. Now think about that. Did I? As a dog returns to his vomit, so as a fool repeats their folly. Basically, that the picture of a dog eating vomit is a nasty thing, ain't it? And that's the picture of a fool staying in their foolish ways, in their folly, in their foolishness. That it should disgust us. It disgusts the Lord, is what we know. And even with our own self, sometimes we in our own self can make foolish decisions, but we go back, you know. The Lord is warning us, hey, you know, it's nasty. You're going back to the old ways. You're going back to the selfish lifestyle. And that's like a dog returning to his vomit. Any thoughts? And then somebody who is arrogant compared to a fool. I mean, we've heard that the fool for these past 11 verses, the fool, man, he's got a lot of trouble, don't he? And brings a lot of trouble. But somebody in their arrogance is worse than a fool. There's more chance of a fool than one who thinks they know it all and won't listen to other people. Or won't listen even to the Holy Spirit as he speaks through his word and through people. Any thoughts on that? See there, the paragraphs get you more involved. You spend longer. That's why I like them one-pointers. We can just shoot them out and go. All right, what do we think this is? General wisdom, leadership, or family? General, that's what I'd go with. All right, now let's talk about lazy people. You want to? All right, let's do it. We won't call no names. The lazy one says there is a lion in the public square. And you know, we've heard that before. Back in Proverbs 22:13, it says, the slacker says there's a lion outside, I will be killed in the public square. You know, Sunday I said, just getting out of bed is dangerous, isn't it? I mean, there are so many things out there that if you figured it up and you thought about everything that might take your life today, you're not going to go outside. That's why God has given us the ability to make us think that we have some sort of control on what's going on around us, but he has all control. But it says here that the lazy one, I think what it means is the lazy one's always got a pretty good excuse. You know what I'm saying? Well, there's lions out there that might eat us all. You know, to them in their mind, that makes sense. You know, I can go to the grocery store and go to a football game, but I can't go to church because COVID. It might be kill somebody. But do people think that? That is the way people are. I'll stop there, I know. As the door turns on the hinges, so is the lazy person in their bed. That is just the nature of a hinge. A hinge is made to swing upon itself so that there'll be a doorway in and out. The nature of a lazy person is to roll from one side of the bed to the other side of the bed. Why? Because they've always got a good excuse. There's no need for them to get up. Any thought on that? And then it just shows how lazy a person is. The picture here in verse 15 is that maybe there's a bowl of peanuts on the counter or something like that, and they reach over into it, and then when they get their hand into it, they decided they ain't got enough strength to bring it back to their mouth. Now, I've seen drunk people be like that. I really have. I mean, they get halfway through it and pass out. But I've never seen nobody lazy that they wouldn't pull a peanut back to their mouth if they had to. But and then it says in verse 16, and notice how much this sounds like a fool, how much the lazy person might have in common with the fool. It says, in their own eyes, the lazy one is wiser than seven others. And remember, the seven is perfect. I mean, the complete. They're wiser than those that might have the complete and just right answer, the sensible answer. Not to a lazy person, because that lion's real. And they could give him all the reasons why the lion is not outside the door that day, but they're always going to have another excuse why the lion could be there. And the number seven, I don't think really means anything else there but for completion, that it could be almost a perfect answer, but they're not going to receive it. Any thoughts on that? Good. Now we've talked about the fools. We talked about the lazy people. Let's talk about dangerous people. Verses 17, don't say nothing about the way I spell dog either. That's a tip of the hat. That's a tip of the hat to my Georgia Bulldogs. Arkansas has me a little afraid this weekend. So be praying. A person who passing by meddling in a quarrel that is not their own is like one who grabs a dog by the ears. I don't know about you, but if I go on visitation, I do not want my deacon grabbing the dog by the ears, even if it's the most cutest poodle in the world. Why? Because you don't know that dog. And that dog might jump all over you and eat you up. I was over at Sister Ruth Osborne's today. She's got a dog, but I just didn't reach out and touch that dog. I stuck my hand down to that dog, and he sniffed me, and then he licked me, and we was best friends. But you never know. How many of you want to hang out with somebody that they make it their practice that every time they go into a new yard, they go to the dog and grabs it by its ears? I'll tell you what, that kind of person, I don't got room for them in my life. I'll just be honest with you, because you'll get hurt. And that's the way it is right here, the idea of someone who gets into situations that they ain't got no business being in. I think we bring a lot of stress on our lives when we inject ourselves into things that we really have had no bearing on us. Notice it says, and a madman, like a madman, throwing fiery darts and deadly arrows, a neighbor that says to another neighbor, does them wrong, and then says, oh, I was just joking. Now, we probably all did that as young, it's hurt somebody's feelings, and then we said, I was just joking. But there's people who still do that today. If they get a hand up on somebody, and then when it's found out, they'll say, oh, well, it was just a good ruse, and I just forgot to tell you about it and all that. But those are dangerous people. You don't need those type of people in your life on a consistent basis. Now, are we to witness to them? Are there times we have to be in their presence and deal with them? Yes, but to make it a practice of having them as a part of your life and intricate, you're just asking for trouble. And that's what we're seeing here in chapter 26, are different types of people that we need to watch out for, pray for, witness to, but don't let them get too ingrained in the important aspects of our lives. Any thoughts before we move on to the gossips? All right, look here it says, and again, remember with the hinge just did what it naturally does. It spins on one another. And here again, it's dealing with the nature of things, the nature of a gossip. It says, without wood, a fire goes out, and without gossip or somebody to carry the tale, conflict dies. And praise God, that's the truth. Lots of times, the only reason that a matter remains a matter is because we keep bringing it up. Especially in marriages, you know, something might have happened 20 years ago. But I know couples today that something happened 20 years ago, and one of the spouses, when they're in an argument and losing, they'll throw that thing from 20 years ago, and that's the trump card. That just, okay, I'm sorry, I'm dirty, bad, everything you say is right, everything I do is wrong, all that. But you know what? That's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. And again, he repeats himself in verse 21. What does charcoal do? Charcoal burns. That's what it does. What does fire do? It has the nature of carrying a flame. But a quarrelsome somebody, or somebody that likes to pick, somebody just likes to stir the pot, you know, and some people just like to stir the pot, that what are they doing? Well, then, just like the coal, just like the fire, they're causing strife, or they're bringing up disputes. Whereas if it would just hush, that'd be all there was about it. And then in verse 22, he says a gossip word. But notice, he's warned how bad they are, right? That they're burning and fire. That can brand you. That'll leave a mark on you. But notice, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Beelzebub, be gone. You know, Beelzebub means Lord of the flies. Remember, that's what Jesus said when he said, well, can Satan cast out Satan? Because they was trying to say he was of the devil. And he called them of their father, Beelzebub. I look like a dummy on camera. Hey, how y'all doing? What's up? But notice what he says. He says, it's dangerous. It can burn you. But it does what it's natural. But notice what he says. It's like yummy, yummy, goody goodies going down into your gut. So it's so good sometimes that you know what? You can get up in a good gossip conversation and not even know you're in it until you walk away from it. You can. You will. Who was I with the other day? I said something and then I said, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't even said that. Because it was useless babble. And the deacons know, I've had to go to them on some things I've said and say, I had no right to say that. I shouldn't have said that. But it does taste good, so we have to watch out for it. We do. And that's, and sin's sin, you know. Sin is sin. God hates sin. All right, we didn't do all of them, did we? What do you think this one is? General, leadership, or family? I'd say all of these are general tonight. All right, the last one. We've got 5 minutes. Can we do it? The topic of deceit. And we know that deceit is just fooling someone to lead it to a product of evil. When the product of what they do becomes for selfish gain or in your demise, then it's deceitful. And so it says that smooth lips with an evil heart is like a glaze on an earthen vessel. You think about those old terracotta type things, you know. And but what would they do on some of them? They'll take and put a glaze on them, put them in the oven, and it comes out just sparkling. And the idea here is that smooth lips are flashy. They can get your attention. Got him. Got that son of a gun. Ha! There you go. That's Jesus, though. That's the Lord. He come in, fought that battle, won the victory. Let's go on. Amen. But it's flashy. It catches your attention. And smooth talkers can catch your attention. We've had presidents in the past that, man, they could sure read a teleprompter. But some of the decisions they made were not that great. You know why? Because they knowed how to say it. And when the Antichrist comes, that's going to be a smooth-talking rascal. Smooth-talking rascal. Notice it says a hateful person disguises themselves with speech. Don't you hate somebody to look at your face and grin and just be all nicety nice, and then later on they just turn around and talk about you on your back? You really can't do anything like that. Notice in 25 it says, when they speak graciously, don't believe them, for there again, there's that number 7, and I believe it's talking about a complete, a whole, the entirety of. There's nothing lacking in the detestable things that they hold in their heart. Verse 26, though their hatred is concealed, their evil will be revealed in the assembly. And remember, he's talking to God's people, Israel. But basically, what's done in the dark, he will bring to the light. And that's what we can trust. At his time, and he may use you to call it out sometimes. But one way or another, he'll bring out the detestable things in the hearts of people. And then we use this on Sunday morning, verses 27 and 28. If you remember Nehemiah, pray, don't let their sins be blotted out in your eyes. Don't let their tricks that they've planned against us happen to us. Let it come on themselves. And it did sound a little bit harsh, but then in our studies we read that what he's saying is basically let what you said would happen, happen. When it says that a lying tongue crushes, or the one who dug the pit will fall into it. Whoever rolled the stone, it'll roll back on them. That's basically what Nehemiah was praying. He was praying, Lord, let their intents be turned around on themselves. Let their deceit, the things that they're doing to try to harm us that will bring their profit, let it fall back on them. Remember, he said, let them be carried off into isolation. Let them be captives. And then the last thing is a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth causes ruin. Many a person has been beaten up, and some's reputation have been murdered because of someone else's tongue. And so, any thoughts on tonight's lesson? It is good to see all of you. I'm thankful that you made the effort to come out Saturday night at the Nest, Lehigh versus Rykov. And I'm going to be there. I'm not like Joe Montana in guaranteeing a win. I'm not. I think it'll be a good game. At the Cove? You going to go? I'm going to go. Yeah, that's right. That's what I've been told. Bring money. Bring money. Anybody else tonight want to? Brother Ken, come close us out in prayer.
Let us pray. Father God, as once again, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and amongst your people. And thank you for the words of wisdom that you laid out many years ago that we may use it in our daily walk with you. And just be with all those who are sick and infirm, those who that died and passed on, those who are lost. Remember the leaders of our country, that they may make unfoolish wisdom and have it come out. But just to be with us and guide us and direct our every way. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.